There is so much in the news today, isn't there? And I don't know what news items you've been following recently. But I'm sure that you're aware that yesterday, people from across North America and beyond commemorated the 20th anniversary of the surprise attack on the World Trade Center in New York City. And I'm certain that many of us remember exactly where we were when we heard of that attack. I certainly remember where I was. And this resulted in the loss of almost 3,000 lives, disrupting the lives of so many more. And there are various aspects of this particular day, including, as we know, the generosity of Canadians and people from all walks of life. But the impact of that tragic event is still evident in so many areas of our lives today. Now, if you're a sports fan, particularly a tennis fan, you know that a young Canadian made it to the finals yesterday, the finals of the US Open. And if you're a Canadian, you'd also be aware that there's a federal election in the next 8 days. So choose the news items to which you pay attention. And there's good news here at St. George and Young. Because of your affiliation with this parish, we are delighted that you heard about reopening Sunday, back to church Sunday, today, as we step out in faith and gather in person for worship. Now, while some parishioners are not here, we also welcome all who have joined us virtually. Today is an answer to our prayers and a result of our conversations as a result of careful reflection and strict compliance with the health and diocesan guidelines. For us at the Church of St. George and Young, it is a new beginning as we learn from the COVID experience and look forward to what God has in store for us. And today, I can think of no better time to recommit ourselves to serving Christ. And the gospel reading provides some reminders for getting a fresh start in our ministry, in the church, and in the community. So some thoughts. Firstly, we must recognize and acknowledge the God whom we serve, the Trinitarian, the triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Secondly, we must accept our collective and individual call to discipleship, our shared ministry here as a congregation, but also our personal Christian vocation. And thirdly, it's clear to us that we must understand that there is a cost associated with following Christ. I followed some of the tennis over the last few days. And at one of the interviews with the young Canadian who made it to the women's finals, she was asked, well, how did you do it? And she mentioned the word sacrifice. She probably missed a lot of different activities to be in the nets, making sure that her serve was correct. And everything that we do, there's a trade-off. Every single thing that we want to do well. And as disciples of Christ, if we want to be good disciples, if we want to be able disciples, if we want to share the love of Christ with others, there's a trade-off. And so we are aware from the scripture reading this morning that Jesus was continuing his work of preaching, teaching, and healing. And in the passage of scripture immediately preceding the gospel, we know that Jesus miraculously restored the sight of a man who was blind. But as he traveled with his disciples around the villages of Caesarea Philippi, the question of Jesus' identity was raised again. But this time, the question was raised by Jesus himself, and it came in the form of two crucial questions to his disciples. The first question was, who do people say that I am? Who is this Jesus who casts out demons and heals the sick, who calms the storm and walks on water? And who is this Jesus who restores life by raising the dead? Furthermore, who is this person who has disciples who are faithful because they trust him and leave everything behind to follow him? Who is this Jesus? Jesus does ask a curious question, doesn't he? Does he really want to know what people are saying? Maybe. Or perhaps he already knows what people think, and he wants to hear what his followers think. But Jesus gets a sampling from his disciples. Some people think that he's John, some think that he's Elijah, some think that he's another great voice of history. And one perspective is that what they are really saying is, who knows? But Jesus continued, and he asked them the second crucial question. But who do you think that I am? Who do you think that I am? Who do I think about Jesus? Now, this was getting personal, wasn't it? And posed a test to his disciples. So it was Peter who stepped up and answered, you are the Messiah. Was this the right answer? If so, was the right answer enough? And at this point, Jesus ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Now, some biblical scholars have suggested that Peter and the others did not quite understand that the new Messiah would not be what they expected. So Jesus was basically asking them to wait. Not yet. Not yet. Do not tell anyone until they knew a little more about his identity as God in human form and a mission for the redemption of humanity. And isn't it the same for us also? For it is important for us to learn more about Christ through the study of Scripture and to experience the power of God working in our lives, to be credible witnesses of God's love for us. Now, after his questions, Jesus told his disciples about what he expected would soon be happening. Suffering, rejection, trial proceedings before all of the powers of the state, and eventual death. We know from the gospel reading this morning that Peter is the first to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah, but he's not ready to accept this type of leader that will have to suffer. And for his honesty, he is told, get behind me, Satan, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. And I guess that many of us are guilty of that we think of things that are obvious, things that are more in keeping with our own perspective and not necessarily on the spiritual perspective. However, Jesus continued with a summary of what following him would mean. He wanted to make it clear to his listeners about the real cost of discipleship as he made a prophetic statement about his own death on the cross. If any want to become my followers, he said, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. If we want to be followers of Christ, we must think unselfishly, we must think of others as we follow Christ. He also warned them to look beyond their own desires and aspirations if they genuinely wanted to follow him. And this invitation, my friends, applies equally to you and to me today. Listen to these words from a hymn by Charles William Everest, a 19th century songwriter. And many of us here today will recognize this as the first verse of hymn number 431 in Common Praise. And it goes something like this. Take up your cross, the Savior said. If you would my disciple be, deny yourself, the world forsake, and humbly follow after me. So my sisters and brothers in Christ, as we live for God, if we live for what we believe, we must follow the examples of the disciples and get to know Jesus. We must have faith and put our trust in God. And we must continue our walk of discipleship, knowing that there are choices to be made. We are also reminded that the life of a Christian is a life of sacrifice. But we must be faithful to what God is calling us to be and to do. So today, as we recommit our lives to Christ, as we're here for reopening Sunday, for Back to Church Sunday, as we get a fresh start today, I want to place before us three priority ideas that have been discussed extensively over the last year to help us focus on our shared ministry at this time. First priority, and if we look around, you'd recognize that we've resumed this. We must attend to the rebuilding of the congregation. Virtual is good, and we welcome anyone to join virtually. But I'm sure that you would agree with me that what's happening here today, for many of us, brings us closer to God, to our own spirituality, and to each other. So we must attend carefully to the rebuilding of our congregation. Secondly, we must provide opportunities to grow in our life and in our faith. And there are some ideas which will be presented to you very shortly around how we re-engage people in congregational worship and how your ideas will be very, very helpful. And thirdly, as a priority, we must continue our plans and, in fact, see the 100th anniversary of the parish plans come to fruition as we honor our heritage of faithful worship and service here over the last 99 years plus. And while we honor our heritage, we look forward to the future. And if these sound familiar, I admit that they are familiar and that they should be familiar. So, my friends, let us all use the gifts with which we've been blessed as we step out in faith together, using new approaches as we live out our Christian faith and continue our journey with Christ. As we reopen for congregational worship, we hear the voice of God calling us to serve. And so may we ask for guidance in our daily walk with Christ, so that we could be the church God wants us to be. Granted, we do not know what lies ahead. But what we do know is that whatever it might be, God will always be there. And so may Christ give us the strength to take up the cross and the courage to be faithful disciples. And so, my siblings in Christ, these thoughts I share with you in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and God's people will say, Amen.